He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It is the Taco Tuesday edition, March 17th, 2026 of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we have our second big day in a row. Could it be that the market has now already priced in the war in Iran and it's moving on? Well, it kind of looks that way. Keep your fingers crossed. The Dow up 328 points right now, 47,274. The NASDAQ up 147 after NVIDIA announces a $1 trillion backlog. That's got to be some kind of Guinness World Record there. The NASDAQ's up 147 to 22,521. The S&P 500 is up 43 to 6,042. Meanwhile, the bond market is quiet. We got the 10-year at 4.22% right now. Gold is up 0.32%, a little bit. Gold has really cooled off here recently, however. And we've got the oil up today, 1.58%. A few more explosions over there in the Middle East disrupting the oil pipelines, refineries, etc. And Bitcoin is down 272 to 74,092. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, in a chilly Charleston. Well, we're 41 degrees. I'm sure it's a lot colder in New York and in Pittsburgh and in Buffalo and in Minneapolis and Dearborn and all the other cities up there.
Cold St. Patty's Day celebrations out there today. I'm telling
is that
you.
What today is?
Yeah, we got 17th. Oh, yeah, we got March Day. I know. You know, you're just paying it. You're just
I get so wrapped up
in
work.
I know. Yeah. At least we got green on the screen for St. Patty's
green
Day.
Green on the screen.
So counts,
they
right?
dyed the market green just for you today. The second day in a row. I don't know the last time we saw that happen. But, you know, it just could be that, and I said this in my comments yesterday that I sent out, eventually the market has priced in some. The market is way forward-looking. Don't forget, by the end of March of 2020, it had already priced in the COVID virus and everything and the damage that it would leave behind, and the market moved on. And it could be that the market has already priced in this latest skirmish, a little more than a skirmish in the Middle East, and the market is moving on as it sees that this will eventually rectify itself. That's just my own little observation from where I'm perched and from 26 years of watching the markets. But there is a lot to talk about here today. We've got NVIDIA to talk about. We've got Micron reporting earnings tomorrow. We have a data center getting hit in the Middle East. That's the first time that a data center, all of a sudden, they've become important targets.
Well, I was actually reading an article about that yesterday because, you know, as we said, there's been a lot of deals from the, you know, from Middle Eastern countries,
yep,
building data centers, you know, deals buying chips and other things. And so, you know, not only now are we disrupting, you know, some of the commodities markets, but, you know, you start attacking data centers that are getting built or in the process of getting built, then, you know, you're gonna go ahead and push that off before it's gonna take a while to get those things built under that kind of fire.
Yeah, don't forget, we can get by without oil, but yeah, help us if we can't get our AI. You know, we gotta have our AI.
Yeah.
We can't have those data centers going down. The market had a very good bounce yesterday. My comments to our subscribers yesterday was that it may have already priced in the current war with Iran. And I also said that if we can get any kind of good news out of the Strait of Hormuz, we could really set the market in motion once again yesterday and over the weekend. I mentioned in my newsletter how this is the cheapest the market's been in quite some time. We got down to a forward PE of 20.66. Now, it's rising suddenly yesterday and today. Maybe we're back up to 21, but we were at 23 recently. But we ended with a very good day yesterday. And another key point in yesterday's trading was that oil was down 5.3%. Now, it is back up today. Iran attack shuts operations at a key United Arab Emirates gas field and oil hub. You know, they've kind of been immune to all of this, all of those wealthy cities over there like Dubai, etc. But all of a sudden, they're under attack. Drone attacks caused fires and suspended operation at the UAE's Shah gas field, the world's largest ultra-sour gas development. Ultra-sour gas. Oh, that's a pleasant one, huh?
Yeah, and what you can tell here is they've been in a 40-something year terror campaign, right, or longer, and so they're literally hitting they're not hitting things for, say, a military purpose. They're hitting them simply to disrupt the world economy, really.
And it's interesting to see these Arab states, calling on the U.S. to, take out this threat that Iran has been and continues to be, and Trump is replying by, hey, why don't you join in with us here, which I'm sure they already are. I'm sure a lot of our strategic points are coming by way of our Arab friends over there that surround Iran. So anyways, that's kind of a interesting development there. The Shah gas field is the world's largest ultra-sour gas. And another tanker was struck near the Strait of Hormuz, which that's obviously not cleared yet. A tanker reportedly was struck by an unknown projectile while at anchor east of Fujairah in the Gulf of Oman, causing minor structural damage. But any kind of structural damage on a big floating object is worrisome, Barry. Small boat structural damage not good.
Yeah, I mean environmental issues as well. I mean, and you can go back to the first Iraq
and
war,
the people
right?
on board. Don't forget.
They
don't like structural damage. It's hard to sleep at night when you've got that going on.
But I was reading, I was reading something that had two Indian vessels were able to go through. I think they actually went through in Iranian waters because they, negotiated some kind of passage because of the fact that I think they got some 140, those sailors or citizens from Iran back to Iran from India. So, you've got these some countries making these side
deals
to get folks through. So it's pretty interesting dynamic at the moment there.
So anyways, a data center gets hit. It's Amazon. Amazon stock is up a little today. But their data centers in Dubai and Bahrain hits on those sent shockwaves through global markets, highlighting how digital infrastructure has become a critical vulnerability in modern warfare. The attacks prompted Amazon to effectively exit the Middle East. This was in an interview with CNBC, underscoring that resilience is also an asset, whether you're a government or a company. The analysts emphasize that the conflict has accelerated existing trends in the technology and energy sectors rather than creating entirely new dynamics. In other words, they've had contingency plans in place if something were to happen. AI is going to continue to grow. Data center investment in that area is going to continue to grow. The shift toward nuclear energy, particularly. Now, you have to wonder about that. You have to wonder about the vulnerability. And there has been some talk way in the background of Iran going after Israel's nuclear reactor, which would be a heck of a mess. But with the proliferation at some point down the road of nuclear reactors, you would think that, and even the smaller modular reactors, you wouldn't want those getting hit by drones.
That's what I've always been worried about, obviously, in Ukraine, right?
As yeah.
You've got a handful of those laying around over there.
It hasn't happened, but that's nightmarish kind of scenario there to think about. Well, a $1 trillion backlog, and no, it's not at Ford Motor Company. It's at a little company out in the Bay Area. We'll be right back.
I'll be gone 500 miles when the day is done.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. We have the Middle East output of oil plunges 12 million barrels of oil per day. That's a pretty big drop.
That's pretty steep.
Yes, and that's why you're seeing oil at $94 and where's my price there on oil? I can't find it right now.
It's going to be
$94.13, right? Somewhere
yeah,
there?
I got yeah. At $95.14 is the one I'm looking at, up 1.75%.
Okay,
so fairly tame for the movement we've seen in both directions in the last.
Yeah, years. You know, and I think maybe that once it got up to 104, that could have been the top.
When it triggers demand destruction, I mean, you're going to have some things, you know, if you have energy prices too high for a period of time, it ends up being a headwind for growth. And so, you don't have as many, may not have as many, you know, near-term ordering, especially if you didn't need it right then, right? Then you push that off and wait for prices potentially to
well, and there's got to, this also creates a rush to get oil on the market real fast and sell it at this current price.
Yeah.
So that's how a market works. Right?
Supply and demand.
It's a beautiful thing. All of a sudden, all these people are rushing to fill the void. And on the other, there's incentive on both sides. One, we need it. And two, we've got it and we can sell it to you. We can make a great profit here at this level right now. So, eventually it works out. You know, that balance of supply and demand eventually comes back. And let's not forget, before this all began, we were in the low 60s and high 50s with oil, which is kind of where the real price of oil is right now. But with all of these constraints and unknowns, you're seeing what that could do. I did say that day when we had that parabolic move when it went to 104, I said, I think this is the top. Parabolic moves do not follow through. It may settle in here and then head on up to 120 or 125, but at the same time, you've got Iran's firepower diminishing by the day. You've got them backdooring text messages to the White House. Let's make a deal.
Well, we killed the. I saw where I think the Israelis killed their main, you know, security minister who somehow got missed in the first strike of the war, and then I think you also had the head of their secret police, which they used to kind of keep their big in terms of keeping down the protest. He was killed today as well. So. They're continuing to, to take
they're losing firepower every day, and eventually it seems like the old regime, there's not going to be much left of it. And a new regime, when the time is right, will start trickling in there with our help, I suppose. And but we're still kind of this isn't a Maduro operation, you know, 4 hours and he's done and he's out of the country and blah, blah, blah. The next shoe to drop, and I saw this last night, Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
The lights, the day, what was that song?
That's the night, that's the night that the lights went out in Georgia?
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking? Reba McEntire, I think.
Well, the lights go out in Cuba. The blockade is working. They haven't received any oil shipments for months, leading the nation to implement severe energy rationing, buckling under the pressure. The entire Cuban electric grid collapsed on Monday, cutting electricity to just 10 million people. While the country has been used to power outages, some of which last several days, to aging infrastructure, things are looking different this time around because they don't have any oil. So they're talking to Washington right now. And I'm sure Rubio's got something to do with that. Of course, you know, the current leader there is Miguel Diaz-Canel, and his days may not be long for this world, at least as the leader. And this is kind of reminiscent of what they did in Venezuela. Go in and take this guy who's been a despot and free the people. And bring in some late model Chevys to replace some of those old Chevys and Ford. I'm sure Detroit could help there. So that's another area to think about right now. And here's something that just kind of on the outer edge. Alaska takes steps closer to a first new U.S. coal power plant. That would be the first power plant, a coal of the coal ilk, since 2013.
So that would be a new one. Interesting. Okay.
Yes, yeah, and don't forget, just 2 weeks ago, the Trump administration announced the first new oil refinery in like 53 years. So we don't want to have an aging infrastructure either. We don't want to become Cuba. But at the same time, coal obviously carries with it a lot of baggage, and I mean the Obama administration declared war on the coal industry and
even on clean coal.
Everything. They want nothing to do with coal. We're going all solar. Right. We're going all wind, and that hasn't worked out so good so far. Okay, from bullish to cautious, rising geopolitical risk drive investors back into cash. There is a lot of cash. That's another thing. That's why I say that if something were to really break to the upside in the Strait of Hormuz, which is the key choke point right now, there's a lot of cash sitting on the sidelines right now. We have a lot of cash on the sidelines, but we also have a lot of irons in the fire right now. We're having a very big day here today at our firm. I was just looking at some of the leaders in the market today. The nuclear stocks are having a good day. Cameco, for instance, which is Westinghouse. Halliburton is having a very good day today. Barrick Mining is rebounding a little bit today. Astera Labs, that's kind of an interesting story. Astera Labs was being kind of sold off because they're more into copper than fiber optics.
Right, yeah, in terms of their input, their wiring, right?
Inside those data centers, and the two that were taking off were Light, I can't think of the other one right now, but they're fiber optics.
Was it
Lumentum?
Yeah, that's it.
And one other one. And Jensen Huang, in his comments yesterday, said, you know, we're sticking with mostly copper in the data centers. So today, A-Lab is way up. Astera, that's the one we own. We sold Lumentum a while back for a huge profit. And the fiber optic stocks are selling off today. So every word out of Jensen Huang's mouth. More on that when we come back. Understand anymore. Well, the top brass don't like him talking so much, and he won't play what they say to play.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Jensen Huang took center stage yesterday. I should have watched it, but we were pretty busy here yesterday with various projects taking place. We do have our dates nailed down for Sarasota, April the 6th, 7th, and 8th. At the Evan Hotel over in the Lakewood Ranch area. That's where most our folks down that way prefer.
Yeah. Well, we get there on the 6th, then we're going to do it on the 7th and 8th, right?
I think that's, yeah, that's the plan. I'm not sure which night the workshop is. I'm waiting for an answer here. I should have that any minute. But it is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah.
The main thing is we have one-hour slots available. They always fill up in Sarasota. To meet with the entire crew, you're going to meet with myself, you're going to meet with Barry, and we're going to have two of our new junior analysts on the trip with us. And those spots will go fast to grab a one-hour spot. Now, Edie, you got to be nice to Edie, and she'll give you a favorable time slot, but I don't think the parking's any issue over there at the Evan.
It's
not like it's the Hyatt downtown or something.
It's a little out of the hustle and bustle, in terms of logistics and parking. So
you can call 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST to set up an appointment. I think the workshop probably did we do it on Wednesday? I can't remember last time, but it's either Tuesday night or Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the Evan Hotel. And there's limited space. And those workshops, I'm telling you what, you learn so much in those few hours, 2 hours with me. It's like a catapult for any investor. All of a sudden you walk in there being an average investor and you walk out of there empowered to take on the markets. So you can reserve a spot to the workshop or a one-hour appointment with us at 855-611-BEST, or just contact us through our website at GundersonCapital.com. I've never heard of maybe Boeing has a trillion-dollar backlog. I mean, they've got quite a few.
Possibly. They have a record backlog for themselves, but yeah.
What does a $1 trillion worth of chips look like? Are they on crates? If you put them all on a freight train going from Chicago to Barstow, what would that look like? How long would that freight train be? $1 trillion worth of NVIDIA chips. But anyway, Jensen Huang unveiled new products and partnerships along with a $1 trillion backlog opportunity through 2027. Wedbush said that the $1 trillion of backlog is a stunner. The stock doesn't move much. I don't know why.
Everybody already owns it. We were talking about that when we were in Houston. It's you have all this good news, and it's like, How much good news do you need? I mean, I guess you could buy more, but if you wanted to buy Nvidia and you didn't have any Nvidia exposure, what are you waiting on? You know?
Yeah, we've got a $350 target price on it, right? five years from now, and the stock is at 183 right now. It is trading good volume today, but it's flat on the day. It's traded 55 million shares so far. There was also news, I want to get to that, about the space-based data centers, which the guy at OpenAI, he poo-pooed that idea, but if Jensen Huang's talking about it, there must be something to it, and the other guy talking about it is Elon Musk.
Yeah, I mean, they say space is cold. If you got to keep those data centers cold, cool. I mean, it seems like you might use a little less energy.
And you have unlimited solar power. Okay. Here's what Dan Ives said, our colorful friend.
Sunglasses. I got to put sunglasses on when I watch him.
He put Joseph's multicolored dream coat to shame.
Yes, he did.
He must be the favored son of in his family there to get a coat like that and coats like it. The AI revolution is accelerating, not decelerating. At GTC 2026, what does GTC stand for?
Something. My guess is tech conferences on the back end.
I see that term all the time.
Me too.
Jensen raised the bar significantly by announcing that NVIDIA now sees $1 trillion in Blackwell Rubin revenue opportunity through 2027. That's just next year. Wow. How much of that is in the S&P 500 earnings?
And we don't call 2027, earnings in 2027, we don't call those long duration. So they're close, right?
They're booked. It's backlog. Once it becomes backlog, the sale's been made. And now you got to produce the goods, right?
Right. And the G is for GPU Technology Conference. So we got the T and the C part right. Yeah, so it's GTC is GPU Technology Conference, I guess.
And there's a new term I think we'll have on Daryl from Salem Radio. He usually listens to our show, and he is a Jensen Huang aficionado. He wears a Jensen Huang. He dresses up like Jensen Huang at Halloween. No, I'm just kidding. But he is. He really follows that closely. I turned him on to a lot of these tech stocks with Best Stocks Now, and he's texting me about this new term, NemoClaw. NemoClaw. NVIDIA's ambitions extend well beyond silicon, with the company formally launching NemoClaw, an open-source enterprise AI agent platform built to capture the 100 times growth in inference demand as agentic loops become the enterprise standard. Did you get that, Barry?
Agentic loops is what
you're taking notes.
I need to.
I'm sure there's somebody driving around San Jose right now listening to the show, and they're going, wow, look at what Jensen has created this time. But anyways, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And not only that, for every $1 spent on an NVIDIA chip, Wedbush says there's an 8 to 10 multiplier rippling across the ecosystem. Okay, that's Arista Networks, that's Micron, that's SanDisk, that's SK Hynix. I mean, you name it. It's A-Lab. I'll tell you, another one that's really starting to get a lot of action is Nebius.
Nebius. They just had another announcement. I saw their name. I don't know. I haven't looked at the stock today, but I know they had an announcement. I think CrowdStrike is going to partner with them. They just had, the announcement yesterday for Meta. So they've had a good week so far from an announcement standpoint.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. And Vera Rubin is going to have a lot of copper in it. It just goes on and on. It's hard enough. I mean, it was hard enough to keep up with the technology revolution, you know, in the late 90s and early 2000s. But now the speed of the technology revolution is much greater than it was back then. But we're doing our best to keep up with all of this and what it means for earnings and who the players are, etc. SK Group Chairman, now that's our SK Hynix friends out of South Korea, they're warning that the memory chip shortage could last until 2030. That's pretty far out. That's the clog in the pipeline of memory chips. We read that Micron was building another plant in Taiwan yesterday. They're building one in upstate New York.
And they bought one, you know, which obviously allows them to ramp up a little faster. I saw that they've made an investment and bought one, part of that deal, I think, in Taiwan. So they're, you know, not just building from the ground up, they're taking over some so they can get this memory, chips, cranked out, right?
And SanDisk and, Micron continue to be two of the strongest stocks in the entire market. And some of the ancillary stocks are starting to heat up again, like Western Digital, like Seagate. It's all part of this, like I say, for every $1 spent on NVIDIA, another $8 are spent on all of these ancillary companies that we're talking about. And it's not like hundreds of them. It's pretty focused. That's why you don't need to have a portfolio with 150, 200 stocks in it. You can be a little more focused. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And bang, we just got it. They just published it. I don't know if the lights have gone on yet on Seeking Alpha on this article, but it is now gone from our queue. It was queued up, Barry. And now it's not in the queue anymore, meaning that we now have a brand new article out there. I didn't get a couple done last week. We did that trip to Houston. That kind of threw me behind a little bit.
Yeah, you got to digest it. You know?
But I have five drafts to get. I did the first one yesterday, bang, finished it up, submitted it, and now it has been submitted. I just think this article that is being published today, the timing could not be better. It's this. You got to look. I'm not going to give this talk. That's not fair, Bill. Give us the name of the stock. Well, you know what? Go to Seeking Alpha and read the article and see for yourself. Number one, it just had a record earnings report. Record, number one. Number two, it is right in the center of all this AI stuff that we're talking about. Number three, the stock has just recently pulled back to where it now has 100% upside potential, which is one of our criteria, 80% or more. And the performance record of the stock is an A+, I grade on the curve. That takes into account the 1 year, the 3 year, the 5 year, and the 10 year performance records, and when I compare that with all the other stocks in the market, it sits at the head of the class, front row, A+. There's not a lot of company those are the best stocks in the entire market from a performance point of view, but it has the forward 5 year valuation too. So I just think, and I think that the market is starting, maybe it's priced in this oil thing. So now you say, well, what should I be buying? Bam. It just got released. One to consider, I would say, for you. So go to Seeking Alpha and just, you know, hopefully it'll be a trending article. We had a big head of steam going, then we lost a little bit of that steam, but now we're getting it back again. In fact, we're looking to have three articles this week released. We'll have another one hopefully tomorrow. But this is good timing. I really like the timing on this one right now. So go to Seeking Alpha and you can see our article that was just released. Okay, now.
And we'll get that email. We'll get that email link too out once the web page updates when they actually post it. Usually takes about 30 minutes once they kick it out of the queue and get it in there. So
yeah.
It'll be on the World Wide Web here just momentarily.
Okay, now here's the term here. This is where this gets a little complicated for me. NVIDIA's partnership with OpenClaw is being called a game changer, okay? And we were talking about this before the break, and I'll just give you a few highlights here. And this is coming, let's see, who is this talking here? It's one of Seeking Alpha's analysts, which I'm one of Seeking Alpha's analysts too. Now, some of these people, they have specialties, okay? You know, I have to cover all the sectors. Barry specializes in the fertilizer stocks, so this is
fertilizer analyst. I like it. But it's coming back, Mosaic.
But we have to have knowledge, right, of all. But I definitely have a bent towards the tech stocks.
Just because that's where the growth has been,
that's
right?
That's where the growth is.
Over the whole career.
But this is a guy, and GTC, by the way, stands for GPU Technology Conference. GPU, obviously, is Graphic Processing Unit. So they had a Graphics Processing Unit Technology Conference, which really is NVIDIA's roots, is graphic processing units. And they had their big thing yesterday in San Jose. That had to be right by where we will be, and that I think that's our next trip. We'll see. It's either that or Cleveland. I have to choose which one. Depends on the weather in Cleveland. It better start thawing out there a little bit so we can get back to Cleveland. But anyways, the other one here, on Monday, NVIDIA said it was collaborating with the creator of OpenClaw. So we're going to have to do a little research on that. To create, and that's our junior analyst, I put him on it today, which combines the ease of OpenClaw's ability to build agents with NVIDIA's privacy and security controls needed to run these agents within an enterprise. It's a game changer for NVIDIA, says this analyst, because the firm can directly boost the enterprise world's reliance on NVIDIA's hardware through the open source space bet. Okay, here's where space comes into this. This OpenClaw strategy, this NemoClaw framework, seems to open up the doorway here to putting data centers. Separately, NVIDIA announced plans to bring AI to space-based data centers, which Sam Altman poo-pooed over at OpenAI. Of course, he doesn't like Elon Musk. Elon Musk thinks that's the future, and Sam Altman says, that'll never happen. It's already happening. The company noted that the NVIDIA Space One Vera Rubin model has 25 times more AI compute than a NVIDIA H1 GPU and can help usher in the next generation of data centers. Do you hear that? That's a big, big deal.
And it's funny, we're already you know, bringing in the next generation of data centers, and we haven't had the ones that we've already got built yet. Right?
No, so now we don't have enough room in Texas. We've got to start putting them in out. They're calling it ODCs. They've already got a term here, NVIDIA's Orbital Data Centers, ODC. And that was part of his announcement yesterday, which unlocks another growth lever for NVIDIA. Wow. I didn't even get to several stories today, but you don't want to hear about Halliburton today. With all this going on, and Schlumberger, we had some stories there. We'll get to them later in the week. Anyways, to call us, to set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST, to reserve a spot, Sarasota, April 6th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.